I want to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you all for dialing in today. And I know that Jerry's thought a lot about the message of the day, and he's prayed about it, and he's studied for it, and asked that you would give him a prayer that he would be able to deliver what the Lord's put on his heart, and also a prayer for yourself that you would hear and understand and be able to put it to work in your life. With that, I'll give you my brother Jerry Case.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. I come before you gladly today. I'd like to actually start with the same verses that Jeff read last week. And interestingly enough, after we finished our sermon last week here with Jeff, we went on to, you know, to church down here in Phoenix, and our brother Dwayne Ely was preaching, and some of these same verses, Jeff was really the punchline of Dwayne's sermon. I just think it's wonderful how the Lord carries his message to us, whether we be in Iowa or in Phoenix or whatever, that he seems to unify and carry the message to people's hearts, the message that he sees our hearts need. And that's my prayer today, is that in that same way that, you know, the Lord's loving, all-searching, all-seeing eye sees into our hearts in a way that is just not even possible for us, in a way that makes it so the right things happen. He brings to the heart of the preacher the word that would take root and grow in you by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's that same thing we pray for, whatever it is we're doing, whether it just be about trying to be a good parent. The kids that don't know how to express what they really need or even don't know what they really need, the Lord bears by the power of the Holy Ghost those things in the hearts of the parents to help them kind of see and know what to do. And so therefore, you know, as I stand before you today, it's in faith that the Lord would do those things for us together today, that we might together grow toward Him. So let me start reading. I think that if you want to follow along today, it's going to be an easy sermon to follow along with. I'm not going to jump around a lot. So let me start reading. I'm going to read the same verses that Jeff did last week to start with. And this is out of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to start with the 5th verse and read down through verse 13. Proverbs 3, I'm going to read verse 5 through 13. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Cindy and I kind of dove into yesterday, thinking, oh, we have some time, we're going to finally start hanging pictures. You know, we recently moved into our home here in Phoenix, and so So we had in mind we were going to do that job, and so we set about to do that job, and we had one of those rare rains yesterday here in Phoenix where it started to rain, and it rained and rained. Good, steady, soaking rain. And we went into the front room to look at hanging some pictures in there, and we heard thump, 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 and there was just water just pouring in, through the, I guess it was the heat vent. Water was pouring through that and just down onto the floor, and we got a leak, so, well, change of plan. And the reason I'm telling you this is that it involved going up in the attic and finding where the leak was coming through the roof, and then trying to find a way to stop that leak. And to make a long story short, I had to get up there and do some fixing that involved staying in very precarious position, I guess you'd say, just an exhausting trying to suspend myself in air while I did this job in the smallest place in the attic. And it took me over an hour. And by the time I got done, I tried to head out of there a long ways back to where the hole was that, goes up into the attic. I kind of gathered my tools together and started to head out of there, and I was so tired. I was so tired. It's funny, you try to position your feet, you try to find the rafters and through the insulation. It's funny, I didn't even care. I crawled out across those rafters at just the edge of those 2x4s on my knees and shins because I just couldn't stand on my feet anymore. And I didn't care if it hurt. it's all I could do. I had to stop several times just trying to get across the attic. And I remember as I got over and I was handing Cindy tools down through the hole in the garage up into the attic, and I kind of handed her all my tools, and I just sat there on the edge of the hole and with my feet hanging through, and I just started to laugh. I just couldn't imagine trying to lift myself down on my arms down to that ladder. I just was so weak. And I finally got down out of there and thought, oh, good, I'm on level ground. I'll be fine. I wasn't fine. I tried to walk across the garage on level ground, and I just was falling all over myself. I had to grab a hold of the refrigerator and the boxes and stuff. I didn't have the strength to keep my own balance. And it made me realize, in a very happy way, how puny and how temporary our strength is. I thought of how a couple hours earlier, I just, I was feeling great, and I could do anything and had confidence in it, and I was going to be hanging pictures and running around doing this, and here I, 2 hours later, I was just, couldn't hardly walk. And I realized, we are so weak, we are so puny as earthlings, as human beings, as men. And how much, that the Lord, we don't realize it. We take it for granted. How much He strengthens us. How much He carries us from moment to moment. And it was such a reassuring, such a comforting thought at the time, especially once I got set down and didn't feel like I was going to fall down, just to think about that. And to think about the fact that I usually always feel good. He's always carrying me. He always makes me feel strong and able. But it behooves us to realize that, and to realize it from moment to moment. Not get caught up in our own pride. Not think that we have the ability that we have the understanding to carry on our lives. We need to depend on Him. The main text of my sermon today I've chosen to take out of from the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to be reading, starting in the third book of Nephi, chapter 5, beginning with verse 50. And this is, I guess, you might call this the Sermon on the Mount. And so you might even want to follow out of Matthew, the fifth chapter, starting with the third verse. But I'm gonna start, if you'll open with me. It's on page 635 in my Book of Mormon, and it's chapter 5, the third book of Nephi. I'm going to start reading with the 50th verse. Says, yea, blessed are the poor in spirit, which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to take just a moment. I'm not quite sure just why I decided to look up blessed out of the scriptures in Matthew to see what it was that what was the meaning of the original word it was using. And when I looked it up, it said blessed, fortunate, well off. And then a little surprisingly so, it said happy or happier. And so think of that as I read through, think of it in that sense. You know, even when we talk about mourn, those that mourn, it's part of that being close to God, part of that sustenance that He does for us. When you read that, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed also means happy, happier. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Kind of remember this reference too, to hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I've thought a few times during my life when I got up early in the morning, and actually there was a stage in my life when I was in college and late high school that everything felt like early in the morning to me. You know, we'd get up on a Sunday morning and man, I was tired. Been up too late the night before and I was tired. Wasn't particularly in the mood to go to church on Sunday morning. And this is one of those verses that struck me, and I would often remember it and think about my attitude. And it's different. There's a different result when you head for church hungering and thirsting after righteousness. There's a different result when you get up and you head for school in the morning hungering and thirsting after righteousness. When you get up and head to work in the morning, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, it changes your whole attitude on the day. Verse 54, and blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I remember when I was young, this is one of the things that I felt to include in my prayers, that God would help me, that I would be pure in heart, there was something in me that possibly just, I say possibly, but I'm just going to say it was the Spirit of the Holy Ghost working with me that helped me realize that the things that I entertained in my heart, the things that I carried in my spirit, were the things that guided me. And that, so I really desperately needed this purity in my heart. So yeah, verse 55, and blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. For if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Looks like I've lost my place. Give me just a minute. I'm going to look it up again. I thought that was something very important. I looked up salt. As it's referred to, and it had the most interesting description when it talked about the meaning. Give me just a moment. Let me try to... just kind of summarize what it talked about. The word is moros. M-O-R-O-S. And it... when it talks about the savor, it, you know, it's talking about the characteristic of the salt. The flavor... yeah, that's important. But it also talked about its ability to preserve. And so when it talks about that you're given to be the salt of the earth, it was funny as I read about it in this description, it talked about salt, and it talked about the savor, as it's referred to there in Matthew and another reference in Luke. It was talking about if you become foolish and lose the characteristics of being a follower of God, that it talked about the characteristic of salt, that like when it became corrupted or moistened, became wet, it has a tendency to clump and lose its character. And I thought of how well that can describe us as Christians. You know, that we go to church and somehow feel that the safety is in that getting together alone. And so we we clump and lose our characteristics. We fail to have that savor, and then it talked about another characteristic that salt makes can make you thirsty. And that as we clump together, we can often lose our capability or our desire to create in the world that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. And it never fit together for me quite that way until I read that description. That as we lose our savor, that we lose our ability, even though we would get together, like go to church, that if we lose our servanthood towards God, if we lose our obedience, we lose our own hunger and thirst after righteousness, our own characteristics of being His children, even though we clump together, we lose our ability to create in the rest of the world that thirst for the gospel. So kind of keep that in your heart. Remember that importance of having the characteristics of the children of God. So I'm going to start back again with verse 60. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do man light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore let your light so shine before this people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, one jot nor one tittle hath not passed away from the law, but in me it hath all been fulfilled. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, and it is also written before you, that ye shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. I have a little trouble with this one. I never quite understood what Raca meant. But I, for a change, instead of just looking up Raca, I also looked up what the reference was to the word that was interpreted as fool in the scripture in the Bible. Raca means empty-headed. And so I thought, you know, a fool, a person who's foolish, I thought, well, you know, that's the same thing. But when I looked up that word in my Strong's, it referred to it in a different way. It used the word foolish, but it said also evil. It said that this word also means not just not thinking well, not wise. It used the word stupid. But it also said lacking in moral foundation. You know, that it's not just being, as I would normally think of being foolish, it's also being foolish in spirit, evil, wicked. And so there is a difference in these words. And when you have reached the judgmentality, I guess you'd say, to call somebody both to be, shall I use the word stupid or empty-headed and evil, that we're way out of line and we're in danger of hellfire. And I think it's important. Sometimes we get simple in our own minds in the way we look at the world. Sometimes we look at, we say, well, you know, if you're in the church, then you're good, and if you're not, then you're of the world, and you're all going to hell. And I think that puts us in this frame. That we can't be that simple in the way we look at things. That we need the mind of Christ. We need that ability. You know, He loved those that did not love Him. We'll get to reading about that here. About, you know, loving your enemies and so forth. So I'll keep on reading. Therefore, if ye shall come to me, or shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come to me with full purpose of heart. And I would really pause for a moment here and mention to you, this is something I can't know within you. Search deep. Think of your relationships. Is there even long time past some aught between you and your brother? Something that maybe even is something you don't understand, but you know there's a problem there. I remember one time one of my sisters in the church came to me, and she was, I guess you'd say mortified. She was very sorrowful, very repenting, and she was apologizing to me, and I didn't know why. I honestly didn't. But she had said something like a couple weeks before that, and she thought of a way that it could have really been taken wrong, and she was just apologizing, and she just knew she had offended me. And the truth was, I was not offended. I didn't take it that way. But it's funny. That's been 20 years ago, and I still think about it. It's important to go and try to make right the things between you and your brother. Make these things right. Let's heal within the body of Christ. Let's heal between us and those in the world, that there might be an open door, a feeling of homecoming and comfort when people would come and join to the body of Christ. Let me go on. Verse 73. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time he shall get thee, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost senine. And while ye are in prison, can ye pray? Can ye pay even one senine? Verily, verily, I say unto you, nay. Behold, it is written by them of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Behold, I give unto you a commandment, that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, than ye should be cast into hell. It hath been written that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whoso shall marry her who is divorced committeth adultery. And again it is written, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But verily, verily, I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair black or white. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, and whatsoever cometh of more than these are evil. Behold, it is written, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye shall not resist evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and to him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. And let me remind you as I read through these things that God loveth a cheerful giver. That when we do these things, do it in gladness, realizing that it's the righteousness that you hunger and thirst after. Give to him that asketh thee, and to him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Behold, it is written also that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Therefore those things which were of old time, which were under the law, in me are all fulfilled. Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore I would that ye should be perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I know that sometimes we pull that verse up out of there by itself, or even just the word perfect, we pull up by itself and we look at it and we make it impossible in our own minds. And so it kind of excuses us. But keep it in context. It's been telling us, you know, we're really not supposed to be like the Pharisees. We're not supposed to be like other people. We're supposed to be following that example, which was Jesus Christ, which is Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about. Being perfect as him, following his example, and not the example of the rest of the earth. Verily, verily, I say that I would that ye would do alms unto the poor, but take heed that ye do not your alms before man to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when ye shall do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as will hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of man. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not do as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so it's telling us, don't, you know, be like the example, Jesus Christ, who was given us. And not to be as the things we see in the world. Don't let those things be an example to you. Take the things that he's asked you to do as the example, and the things that we get to see that he did. The things that we learn as we read in the scriptures, that's what he's asking for us. That's what he means by saying, be perfect, like Jesus or his Father. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I want to just mention something here. There's a deception in non-forgiveness. Somehow it feels, when you don't forgive somebody of something, it feels like you're getting even in some way. It feels like in some way you're getting them back. But the truth is, you're the one it's damaging. You're the one that's harboring it. You're the one that it's doing its destructive, doing the destruction on when you are full of non-forgiveness. Many times, the brother that, or the friend or the neighbor that you hold this grudge against may not even know it because they're living their life. They don't even realize that you got this going on in your heart. But yet it's tearing you up. No, there's no kind of justice in non-forgiveness either. You gotta ask God's help and get over it. You gotta forgive. You gotta forgive. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Let me update you here. I'm on verse 108 on page 639 of chapter 5, the third book of Nephi. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I would ingrain that in your mind. Replay that one to yourself daily. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We can't let anything else grow up and become an idol in your heart. Because it becomes the light that guides you. Let the light that guides you be your Heavenly Father. Place Him first. Hold Him the most important in your life. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee, be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Chapter 6, verse 1, third book of Nephi. Now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he looked upon the 12 whom he had chosen and said unto them, Remember the words which I have spoken. For behold, ye are they which I have chosen to minister unto this people. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, even so will he clothe you, if ye are not of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be thought of the things of itself. Sufficient is the day unto the evil thereof. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he turned again to the multitude and did open his mouth unto them again, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again to rend you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophet. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso beareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, whoso heareth these things of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine, and doeth them, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his hand upon the sand. Let me read that again. And everyone that heareth these things of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And as I'd like to review with you, building upon the rock which is Jesus Christ is an activity. It's actually doing these things that he's asked us to do. And I really want to emphasize that it's doing the things of heart also. It's not just taking the actions. And he emphasizes, you know, you don't do these things to be seen of men. It talks about being pure in your heart. It talks about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It talks about loving your enemies. We have to do the work on our attitude. We have to be forgiving. We have to not take unrighteous judgment toward the world. To, in our mind, classify people and withhold that savor of serving God before all men, but withholding being that light that's set on a hill, that the world might see it and come. I just shudder at the thought that the world that I've grown up in, what if it had not been patient with me, including my parents? What if they had not been patient with all my foolishness as I grew? That they didn't stay there for me. They didn't love me. They didn't show me a good example. And even as I talk of my parents, it includes the parents that just were my parents by example. The people at church that were always so patient and so good with me, that my heart might be changed, that I might be among those, as it says, that are blessed. And thinking of that in the full sense, fortunate, well off, happy, happier. I get to be among those people because people were patient with me. They were loving towards me as God commanded them to be. Doing those things is building on the rock, which is our Savior, Jesus Christ. I tried to be kind of, I guess you'd say, return to the simple things. And it's not so simple, I know, when you try to live it. But I kind of wanted to go back to basics today to remind us to wake us up to building on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, to relying on Him and not our own understandings, and realizing with joy how blessed we are because of Him, that He has been faithful towards us. So let's be faithful towards Him and to all the world around us by being faithful towards Him, that we might be that city that's set on a hill. We might be light, that we might be salt. So God bless us. I pray for you in your endeavors, and please pray for me too. I love you all, and thanks for the time.